through jail if they end up in that case. But we are starting the process for what we want to do beyond that, and we'll be talking about that shortly.
So that's shutitdown.org. We have to wrap it up here. I just in the break, I talked to Ken, and he agreed to be a occasional co-host with me on KBOO. Hopefully that will come to fruition. So that's something to look forward to. So
thanks
thank you so
asking.
Much for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to coming back.
All right. Stay tuned to more programming and support KBOO.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Isabel's, located at 330 Northwest 10th Avenue in Portland, and serving inventive, veggie-friendly Latin Asian fusion dishes. Lunch was provided by Cannon's Rib Express, located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue, an award-winning barbecue restaurant in Portland. Dinner was provided by Fire on the Mountain Brewery and Catering with three locations in Portland. Go to portlandwings.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Thirsty City on Thursday, September 28th at The Know in Portland. Thirsty City is a monthly showcase that features hip-hop artists from the PNW. To kick the series off, this month's show is featuring Akira Gautama, Alex Meltzer, Crockett King, Billy Soul, and Ugly Bootleg. Again, that's Thirsty City on Thursday, September 28th at 8:30 p.m. at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 9:01 and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Sojourner Truth updates the growing rebellion in France against President Macron's attack on welfare and labor unions. At 10, Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary, and at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, the Food Show has organizers from the 2017 Northwest Permaculture Convergence, which begins next week. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Please support the station during our fall membership drive by calling 877-500-5266 or by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
I'm Max Pringle. You're listening to Sojourner Truth on Pacifica Radio.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. And before we welcome our weekly roundtable panelists, we want to just spend a few minutes on an important struggle going on in France that has wide implications, not only for the rest of Europe, but for those of us in the United States. President Macron of France elected as a center-right candidate. The fast rise of his new party, bypass the traditional political parties in France, in many ways was a response to both the ultra-right candidate Marine Le Pen and the left candidate Jean-Luc Mélenchon, co-founder of France Unbowed. Macron has promised a series of anti-labor reforms as well as other measures that would further undermine what's left of France's welfare state. On September 12th, the General Confederation of Labor, the CGT, along with a major student organization and other supporters, took to the streets en masse protesting Macron's policies. Macron added fuel to the fire by referring to those who oppose his measures as slackers. And he was nowhere in sight on September 12th. He chose this time to visit French colonies in the Caribbean, hit hard by Hurricane Irma. Indeed, France has been criticized for its tepid response to the hurricane, with aid slow to arrive and also limited. On the ground in France, I'd like to welcome our guest, Stéphane Olgeron, National Secretary and Spokesperson for Solidarité. Stéphane, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for your interest.
Okay. Stefan, Macron in moving this, he's bypassing usual parliamentary procedures to press forward on this. How is he doing this, and what is the impact of him moving in this way with these reforms?
Yes, he's pushing, in fact, by executive orders to shortcut debates and democracy in parliament. Indeed, there are possibilities of such a process in the French constitution, but in the past times, no one was using it. It's something new and is following the path of the former president, François Hollande, and his government, who they used a procedure that called the law 49-3 that can also shortcut debates in the assembly, in the people assembly. So, in fact, yes, they don't want political debates, they don't want social debates about what you were calling, and it's just to say so, an attack against what is left of a welfare state in France. And I think they want to do it because they don't want social strikes and social social meetings in the street. They don't want it, and they have other reforms to pass in the next month that will end. I can say so. End welfare state if it happens.
Yeah, and Stefan, with the protests, we do know that there were mass protests on September 12th. There's another one scheduled for September 21st, and yet another one from Insoumise, Malichon's organization, on September 23rd. But what happened? Because it seems as though some of the labor unions are split, because not all of them participated on the 12th and instead chose to have a kind of listening sessions, I suppose, with Macron that has ended up in not much of anything. What's their story right now?
It's a very difficult thing. I should say that more and more there's a gap between two kind of unionism in France. The first one are calling themselves responsible unions. That means it's one of the most the biggest union in France, called CFDT, that we should say that signs everything that this government and previous governments were doing. So we don't call it an union job for ourselves. And there are other unions that are called radical, but we don't. I don't know what is to be radical. We just do our union job to protect the workers. So yes, there's something moving. I should say that in the 80s and in some countries in Europe, like in Germany, like in Belgium, there have been a change in the way unions consider themselves. They were the government told them, so no, you will be in charge of pensions, you will be in charge of social budgets, etc., and they become less combative. And I think that's something like this that is happening in France for some unions.
Right, and that might explain, because there was a poll that the labor union support in France is down to only about 36%. But do you think that Macron is seeing himself as like a Margaret Thatcher in the UK, when she went after the miners' union and really it was a huge blow to undermining the labor movement in the UK, or Ronald Reagan with his attack on the air traffic controllers in the United States, and unions in so many ways are under attack and haven't been able to fully recover. So is Macron trying to basically take France in that same direction, do you think? And finally, if you could respond to that, and finally, your expectations for this movement, are you expecting it to grow? Stefan.
Yes, I think you're right when you're talking about Reagan busting unions and this famous strike of in air traffic. I think we can speak of union busting in France today, because this reform that we are fighting against will, for example, decrease the number of employee representative by merging different representation, and will also decrease power of unions in factories and by some laws that it include. So yes, they are attacking unions. Unions that are doing their job of unions. I think you to have a comparison, you had it in the United States. Maybe 50 years ago, I think with the Tastatley Act, that was, I think, an attack against unions that were powerful in the United States in past decades. I think there's something like this that is happening in France. What we are expecting for the next weeks or next month, first of all, some unions that weren't with us on September the 12th, there is movement inside of them, and we hope that teams of these unions will join demonstration and strike. And I think it's not only an union question, in a classical term and conception of it, because there are other, there is this law, but there are other laws in France that Macron is now leading that are striking poor people in France. And these people, we hope, we think, that they will also join a contestation and future strike and mobilization, because there are other reforms after the law code, the actual law code, pensions and other things that will be, you said it well, the end of welfare state in France.
Right. Well, on that note, we'll continue to follow this story. And Stéphane, we hope that you will join us again to update us. All the best to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All righty. And our guest, Stéphane Olderon, National Secretary and Spokesperson for Solidaire, based in France. Attacks on labor unions continuing in France as they are under attack here in the United States.
And we are now joining you for an update on our membership drive here at KBOO. My name is Jenka. I'm here with Jenna. And we are here this morning as part of our fall membership drive. This is the time when we ask for you, the listener, to become a member of KBOO or to renew your membership. The way to do it, real easy, is use the phone, 877-500-5266. You will talk to a real human being, a volunteer who's here in our back studio at KBOO, or you can come in and see us, 20 Southeast 8th. We are here. We've got coffee. We will welcome you and in out of the weather, and you can see our cozy studio here. People who give to KBOO are amazing, kind, generous people, people who care about making this world a better place and value a diversity of voices on the radio and not a mono corporate culture taking over the radio waves, and value the fact that we have a free and open space on the airwaves. If that's something that you value and you think that it's worth protecting and worth continuing, then do give us a call. And if for $10 a month contribution, you can get a 4 gig flash drive filled with all kinds of amazing audio. You're hearing about the labor movement in France. There is a ton of audio on here from the labor movement in the U.S. and around the world. We've got some incredible feminist speakers. We've got people from the civil rights era, people like Dick Gregory, who just passed this year, people like Stokely Carmichael, like Kwame Ture, Eldridge Cleaver, John Trudell from the American Indian Movement. Just a who's who on this flash drive, and all of those MP3s will be yours. It's all part of KBOO's exclusive audio flash drive. 877-500-5266.
you know, maybe you're one of those people who doesn't want to get on the phone and you're more of a computer person, or maybe you're using our mobile app, you know, go on to kboo.fm or go onto your smartphone there and you can find that donate button. It only takes a couple minutes to become a member today, and you can join Barbara, who gave online. Barbara in Southeast Portland became a member. Woohoo! We also have Margaret in Vancouver who is renewing their membership. Thank you so much, Margaret and Barbara, for renewing, becoming members of KBOO today. Join them, because this is the type of programming that you believe in. This is what you're listening to right now. This is what you support. 877-500-5266. And if you become a member today, you'll get entered into our daily drawing. And today's drawing is for Creative Body Art. You'll win a $200 gift certificate from Skeleton Key Tattoo in Portland. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. So give us a call again. That number is 877-500-5266 right now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for the rules and restrictions on that.
Yeah, I don't know about a tattoo myself. I've never had one, but maybe I would consider one if I won that drawing, or maybe there's someone in your life that you would hand that gift certificate over to, somebody who's all inked and would
Portland.
Definitely
there's,
appreciate
there,
it.
We all know someone who could use that.
And so that could be yours, and that's in addition to any other gift that you get as a thank you. We do have t-shirts. We also have this USB flash drive, which I would really consider if you have not yet given to KBOO. Can you do $10 a month? Can you make that a part of your budget? $10 a month is really not too much to ask for community radio, for this university of the airwaves. I mean, just think of the value you get every single day from KBOO. All we ask is that you subscribe at a level that works for you. $10 a month is really doable for a lot of people. We ask often that you give an hour's wage a month. So that hour can be your KBOO Power Hour. So whether you make $15 an hour, you can give $15 a month to KBOO, or if you make $20 an hour, $20 a month to KBOO. And then when you're listening and you hear that hour of radio, or maybe you're sick of your job and you're not having a good day, but you turn on KBOO and there it is, that power station, the station of resistance, the station that gives you the truth and the facts in an era of just falsehoods. So do give a call and support it. And that way you can make KBOO your own. And you know, when you turn on the radio in that hour, that is your station. You own it.
I love that idea. Yes. So come own that hour. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Because KBOO, if you're listening right now, this is the type of programming that you believe in. You want this type of discussion, as we just saw yesterday, where President was up in front of the UN, you know, and we heard all this rhetoric. We hear all this nationalistic, you know, talk, and here we hear this discussion of what is happening in France. It's not just about our tiny little discussion here. We see how what we think of as, our local discussion is actually part of a much bigger picture, you know? And you value that. You value understanding where the discussion is going, where we all sit here in our community, and how we can empower ourselves through community radio, how we can empower ourselves to understand the truth of what is happening in our larger world. So become a member, 877-500-5266. Again, let's all do that together. 877-500-5266.
Support Sojourner Truth Radio right now. And this is very, very important radio. Hearing about the rebellion in France, that is what we are organizing in the U.S. This is part of a movement, an international movement, as Jenna mentioned, of people fighting for democracy against those who would censor democracy, who would keep people oppressed. And yet here we are, and we refuse to be put down, because KBOO is going to stay on the airwaves, and we need your support in order to do it, in order to keep this free and open democratic space available on our local airwaves. Do give a call. Can you give $15 a month, $20 a month, $10 a month? Get that audio flash drive. Call right now, 877-500-5266.
And now we would like to welcome our weekly roundtable. I'd like to welcome Jackie Goldberg. She has served in the California State Assembly, also on the City Council, the Los Angeles School Board, and currently on contract with the Mayor of Los Angeles office to help rehire people who have been laid off. She's been an educator all of her life. Jackie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Bill Gallegos, longtime Chicano liberation and environmental justice activist. He's the author of The Sunbelt Strategy in Chicano Liberation and Reflections on the Green Economy. He is the former executive director of Communities for a Better Environment, one of the leading environmental justice organizations in the United States. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Margaret.
Dr. Gerald Horn, the Morse Professor of History and African American Studies at the University of Houston. He's published more than 30 books, including Confronting Black Jacobins, the U.S., the Haitian Revolution, and the Origins of the Dominican Republic, and Paul Robeson, the Artist as Revolutionary. Dr. Horn, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so we are going to actually start on the international front. And North Korea fired yet another missile over Japan, the first doing so on August 29th. The UN Security Council is set again to meet. As I said in the intro, sanctions have already been slapped on North Korea. They were watered down, it is said, with the intervention of Russia and China. And it seems as though the United States really don't have a whole heck of a lot of options here. What we're going to do before we have all of you weigh in, not only in North Korea, but other issues on the international front, let's get a little look at what war with North Korea might look like. This is from the Wall Street Journal as the source.
North Korea's missile program is racing ahead.
Mr. President, will you attack North Korea?
And U.S. President Donald Trump is using language that we've never heard a president using on Korea.
Fire and fury.
And that's led to open talk about military options on the Korean Peninsula, something that you generally don't hear very often.
We have many military options, and the president wanted to be briefed on each one of them.
A war would put the lives of millions of civilians at risk, so it's still an extremely unlikely scenario.
But if it were to happen, here's how experts see it playing out. What could trigger a military intervention?
Experts say the U.S. could take action to stop Pyongyang from developing a nuclear-tipped missile capable of reaching New York or Washington. The U.S. has also warned North Korea that it could take military action if North Korea were to engage in a particularly provocative fashion.
Any threat to the United States or its territories, including Guam or our allies, will be met with a massive military response.
Analysts say that Pyongyang is highly unlikely to start a conflict unless it believes that the U.S. is about to strike and that the regime itself is under threat. In times of high stress, even a mishap could become a trigger, like a North Korean missile test that inadvertently lands onto Japanese soil, or a disaster like an accident at North Korea's nuclear reactor. So what would a U.S. military operation look like? Washington could try to take Kim Jong-un's regime by surprise and conduct a short, intense military campaign.
What happened is a massive American air campaign. That was the plan in 1994 for the beginning of the North Korean nuclear program. So I have the feeling that the Americans would target a lot of North Korean facilities in a big, big strike.
American military could rely on forces already in the region in order to avoid tipping off North Korea, such as using aerial bombers, land-based cruise missiles, and submarine-launched ballistic missiles.
Through surgical strikes, the U.S. Army would destroy Pyongyang's nuclear facilities, missile launch sites, and mobile launch vehicles.
But there's a catch. The U.S. may not know where all of the North's nuclear assets and its missile facilities are.
If there's a catch big time, like the possibility of millions of people being killed. And Trump made a remark of like, well, if, you know, millions of people in South Korea die, you know, so be it. But, you know, a lot of us are hoping that he's really not so crazy to go there. Bill Gallegos, we'll talk with you to get your response to North Korea, but the whole North Korea, China, Russia nexus, and Iran. We can't leave Iran out of that because they're also trying to stem Iran's development of a nuclear weapon, and it seems as though the Saudis are really angling, you know, in that direction as well. But Bill Gallegos, your thoughts on all this?
Well, I think, you know, the situation with North Korea is often portrayed as without resolution, without options for the Trump administration, but actually there is one. And recent history points to what that option is, which is negotiations, which happened in the Clinton administration, and in which the North actually shelved its nuclear development program and its missile program in return for a number of concessions that were made by the Clinton administration. The Bush administration, after it took power following the elections, trashed all of those agreements, and that North Korea revived its nuclear program and its missile program because they were part of the Axis of Evil and saw what had happened in the Middle East. So I think the Chinese and the Russians and the North Koreans have consistently said there is a solution to this problem, and that's negotiations. The North has been very clear that they want a resolution. There's an armistice in place in the Korean Peninsula, not a peace treaty. They want a peace treaty. They want to know that they are not going to be targeted for destruction by the United States. And they've been very clear about that. And I think they have been pushing their missile launches and their nuclear tests towards that end. They have consistently said that this is the way out. And the Chinese and the Russians have said that. But before the United States and South Korea did their war games on August 20th, the Chinese and the Russians said, step down. Don't do it. You need to go in the other direction, which is sitting down with the North Koreans and others in the region and working out a peace treaty and a resolution to this, including a pledge by the United States not to attack North Korea. Not something that is in the insane asylum. That is a reasonable demand by any nation, any sovereign nation. So I think that's what's going on here, is both sides are ratcheting it up. But I think from the North Koreans, they're often portrayed as being, as their leader being insane and crazy and having no thoughts about the consequences of their actions. I think what they're saying is we're standing up against the most well-armed nuclear military superpower in history, and we're going to keep pushing until somebody sits down at the table with us and takes us seriously.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, and we are in our fall membership drive. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Give us a call right now to become a member of KBOO today. Because, you know, you're listening and I don't know if you're hearing what I'm hearing, but I'm hearing a rich discussion, a discussion that the quote-unquote popular messaging that is being given out these days, you know, it just goes against when we say, hey, let's talk about communicating with other countries and let's talk about having reasonable discussion. Like, where do we hear that anymore? Yeah. You hear that on KBOO.
It's really unique on the radio airwaves, and if you turn to other news stations and other places where you get public affairs, this is a unique perspective here at KBOO. We hear about this frightening escalation in North Korea and putting it into this context of the larger worldwide international context. I mean, here we dig deep into the issues. We go below the surface, and we're asking you right now to dig deep for democracy on the airwaves. Can you support at $10 a month? Support this station. You know you have other subscriptions that you're maybe paying $10, $20, $30 a month to subscribe to. KBOO can be one of them, and this is your choice. How much you give is your choice, but we're asking you to give because we don't want to be freeloaders here. We are not that kind of people. We're the people that actually take action. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that are putting ourselves out there and that are taking a stand, and this is a way to do it. This is a way to support non-commercial community radio. If you don't know what that is a station. This is a station here that does not take commercials. We don't play commercials. We don't have any corporate commercials that are on our airwaves. We don't take their money. The reason that we're able to do that and the reason we're able to remain independent is because we've got 5,000 of you as members. So we've got people giving $10 a month, people giving $20 a month. We've got people giving maybe a $50 contribution just all at once. That is how we remain independent, because we are accountable to you, the listener. So call right now. Support this station, 877-500-5266. The real gift is KBU, but we'll give you an extra bonus. We'll give you this USB flash drive as a thank you.
Also, if you become a member today, then don't forget you get entered into that daily drawing. Today's drawing is for Creative Body Art. You'll win a $200 gift certificate from Skeleton Key Tattoo in Portland. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive, so give us a call at 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win, or go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. Also on the website, you can just click on that donate button to become a member today too.
And speaking of the website, we want to thank Matthew from Southeast Portland and Barbara from Southeast Portland. Both gave online, kboo.fm. It's very easy to do there. Yep, you just got that donate button and fill out the form. Very, very easy to do. So kboo.fm, try it out now. Get yourself the USB flash drive, and we'll be back in a few minutes to check in on how we're doing towards our goal.
You know, often North Korea is also portrayed as being, you know, extremely poor. And an article in Vox said the GDP per capita is about $1,000, about 1/28th of South Korea's, that there are chronic shortages of food, medical supplies, you know, et cetera. But that is in contrast with what is seen in North Korea now, where there's been a building boom. People are, you know, it is reported, and this is reported in Consortium News, restaurants and shops, coffee shops are everywhere. People seem better dressed. Young people are running around with mobile phones and tablet computers, and even in the countryside, people are having solar panels, television, etc. So on the one hand, you have that Kim Jong-un is insane, and that he's starving his people out, and people are so impoverished there. I'm sure there still is a lot of poverty, as there is in many parts of the world. So your thoughts on what's going on. And also, I wonder if this kind of cozying up that happens with Japan and India, for example, they met recently, and it was like this kind of bromance going with the Indian Prime Minister Modi and the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. And if that is also a response to China and China's growing power and influence. Any thoughts on all of that, Jackie?
I think a lot of it is a response to China. I think there is, throughout all of Asia, the notion that somehow or another alliances are realigning. And you have threats in a lot of different directions. What does Japan and India getting together do to Pakistan? How does that make them feel? Is Pakistan now moving closer to Iran, which some folks are saying? I've just read something this morning about that. I think basically, though, the one overwhelming thing that I think people have to remember about North Korea is that punishment does not work. Okay, It just doesn't work. It's never worked because their resistance to pressure is extraordinary. They get trade and the investment from China, but without it, they would still survive, and they know they would still survive. That means that this continuous harping by Trump that China needs to do this or China needs to do that, China knows what will work. It won't work. It doesn't work to impose greater destruction, greater famine on North Korea, because over the period of the last several presidents, we've seen that it is not possible to force them into negotiations by threatening them. And in fact, it has just the opposite effect. It proves to the Korean people, North Korean people, that what Kim Ung says is true, that the United States is out to destroy them, that they want to harm their people, that they have no regard for North Koreans, and so forth and so on. And it makes that harder. Famine in North Korea, it doesn't work. You don't do it. And what does work is saying is the kinds of things that Trump does with Putin, a little complimentary of how Ung has gotten so far technology, and saying, well, we admire that your great technological advances. Let's see if we can use them for peace instead of war. Let's sit down. I think if you take a look at the New York Times the other day, had this article about China not being able to solve the North Korean problem. You'll see a real outline in that article that talks about the fact that you really cannot force North Korea to stop doing what it's doing. You can only do that by having a discussion with them, and I agree with Bill entirely, by saying, you know, we're not your enemy, we're not coming after you, we're not going to try regime change, we don't intend to bomb you. It is time to formally end the Korean War. Let's sit down and talk. I think that if the United States were to take that position, as both Russia and China and many other parts of the world are urging us to do, you would see the North Koreans respond. I think this continuously demonizing them in the American press just makes it easier for Trump to do some of the things that he's done that really puts the whole region at risk.
Yeah, and Dr. Horn, I mean, you had the UN, okay, new sanctions on North Korea. North Korea responded by firing off a missile that traveled 2,300 miles. This is according to South Korea's military. And that range is significant because, according to the Union of Concerned Scientists, North Korea demonstrated that it could reach Guam with this missile. And so there's that going on the one hand. And then when you look at the kind of realignment that Jackie just referred to, and I mentioned earlier, and you have China on the one hand, increasingly a major world power, challenging even the United States in that direction economically. And there's some moves also militarily happening. You have Russia. You have also Israel, a nuclear power. You have Iran. They're trying to keep Iran from being a nuclear power. And these are some of the major players, if you look at it. And one has to wonder if Saudi Arabia is also trying to get into that category with their moves. I mean, the horrible, horrific, catastrophic war going on in Yemen, and then their moves against Qatar. So it seems as though all of this, even though it seems as though it's not connected, it really is in terms of that kind of global realignment and a bipolar world, Dr. Horn.
Well, just like the war in Korea in 1950 to 1953 had its ultimate target, the People's Republic of China, I think the crisis in North Korea has as its ultimate target a rising China, as your words suggested. There's a developing dangerous alliance involving Japan, India, United States, Republic of Korea, Australia, to contain and encircle China. But I must warn Washington that just like in the 1970s when the United States aligned with China to help to weaken the Soviet Union, I think the ultimate result of this new alignment in 2017 will be the development of a Japan-India axis, a relationship that goes back 2,500 years to the founding of Buddhism, and of course, even flowered during World War II, if you might recall, when there was enormous sympathy for Japan in India. I should also say that Mr. Trump is being forced to back away from some of his campaign promises as a result of his ham-fisted strategy in Northeast Asia. For example, he's dropped the threat to end the Republic of Korea, South Korea, U.S. trade agreement. He's dropped the threat to make Seoul pay more for the anti-missile defense system in South Korea, which, of course, is targeting China much more so than North Korea. He's also refused a Chinese offer to limit steel capacity production, which was a major demand of the United States Steel Workers Union, in part because he wants to keep China, from his point of view, on the hot seat. I think that it's also fair to say that this India-China confrontation is complicating the development of an alternative framework of the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, which just met in China a few days ago. And I should also say that Russia, which is also in that vicinity, also in that neighborhood, is an ultimate target of this crisis in North Korea. Russia also might be the key to solving this crisis, since in many ways its relations with the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, is better than China's relations with the DPRK. But in that context, NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is raising quite a large amount of hysteria about these military maneuvers that are taking place in Eastern Europe as we speak. That only involves about 13,000 troops, but you would think it was 300,000 given the amount of hysteria that is unfolding. In any case, it's clear what we need to do at this point. We need to press the demand for a so-called double freeze. That is to say, in return for North Korea freezing its nuclear capacity, the United States and South Korea will freeze its military maneuvers, which are targeting North Korea. Washington has rejected that thus far, but obviously it has to be forced upon them.
Right. Well, we'll continue to see how all of this plays out. Thank you, Dr. Horn. We are going to take our station break, a short station break, and coming up, we'll turn our attention to the National Front and the rest of the Americas. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is our fall membership drive. My name is Jenka, and I am here with Jenna. And we are here at the station that's keeping you informed about the DPRK, about the alignment of world powers that you're hearing about on Sojourner Truth Radio. And we're asking you to step up and make this world a better place by valuing the diversity of voices that we have on KBOO Community Radio. Can you do a $15 a month contribution? That is a It seems like a lot, but when you think about it, when you think about the value that you get from KBOO, it's and especially considering what you're paying for maybe other services that are not as valuable as KBOO, consider budgeting that in. And if you do that, you will get a KBOO USB flash drive full of exclusive audio from 1968 until now. I mean, this is jam-packed with amazing, amazing material. And that is just $10 a month. You could do 15, you could do 20, whatever works for you. 877-500-5266.
Or if you're someone who wants to, or you're listening to us on your computer, you're listening to us maybe through your phone, you know, go to kboo.fm. We have a donate button there, too, also on our mobile app that is so convenient to become a member of KBOO today. You know, we have a goal this hour of $280, so help us meet that goal. Help us get there by becoming a member or renewing your membership today, 877-500-5266. Again, give us a call, 877-500-5266. And when you become a member, remember, you also get entered into our daily drawing. And today's drawing is for Creative Body Art. You'll win a $200 gift certificate from Skeleton Key Tattoo here in Portland. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. So just give us a call, 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions on that.
Oh, yeah. I just thought about who I would give that gift certificate to as Christmas present. Yeah, I think my sister could definitely use that if I won, but I don't think I'm eligible. But you could win. You could win and give it to your sister and say, look, here, happy, merry, whatever. Here is a gift for you. It's a tattoo. And that could be something that you give to someone. So that'd be a really cool gift, I think. You could also give them the USB flash drive filled with all this audio and be like, hey, sis, I want you to hear the bell hooks. I want you to hear W.E.B. Du Bois. Here, check out this audio from Kwame Ture in 1973. Check out Eldridge Cleaver, John Trudell, and share that audio around. I mean, this is a treasure trove of audio that you can share with your friends and loved ones. The number to call, 877-500-5266. 5266. You don't need to put a penny down right now. All you need to do is say, yes, I can do $10 a month for KBOO. I can make that commitment every month. I'll have that in my account and in my credit card or my bank account, and I will allow you to take that and give it to democracy and invest it in the community. I mean, KBOO is here speaking to the issues that you face every day, but through a vast set of perspectives and voices. Here, we are your friends and neighbors. We're asking you to join this important work. This is a community project. We're organizing people, coming together in a movement for democracy on the airwaves. Be a part of this. Show how media can bring people together through discourse. We are all coming together in this time of real crisis. When you think about what you're hearing about on the radio, mm-hmm. think about the things you hear about every night on the KBOO Evening News. This is a time of crisis. We need stations like KBOO. It has never been more important to support community radio. Please go right now, kboo.fm, or call 877-500-KBOO. If you need to take a moment, maybe pull over, maybe you're riding your bike, you got KBOO in one headphone, just get to a safe spot, get out of the ring. 877-500-KBOO.
Or hey, maybe if you want to get out of the rain, you happen to be close to KBOO, come on in and become a member that way. We got coffee. It's nice and toasty in here. And, you know, we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here, right off of Burnside. And come and see what is KBOO, that we're a whole community. We have a whole room of volunteers here to support, here to take your pledge, here to help you become a member. Because, you know, I know that if you're like me, you want to be an active member, an active listener of your community radio station. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, to become a member. Because you know what? You could just keep listening. But you know that when you listen, you are sucked into these conversations. They're the discussions that you want to be having. You want to be hearing an in-depth discussion about North Korea, not just the little blips and blah, blahs, blahs that the mainstream wants us to just hear. They just want us to hear the fear-mongering. They want us to hear a lack of discussion. But here at KBOO, we say, no, this is the time. This is the place where we have to have these discussions. So you value that. Show your support for that. 877-500-5266.
You know, the corporate media loves war. They actually, they really get off on crisis, and they increases their ratings, and they love the advertising money that they get from it, and they really push it. But you know what? Here at KBOO, we have a different philosophy. We are confronting the complicated challenges in this nation and in this world, these unprecedented challenges. We need media that trades in understanding rather than fear, that builds us up and does not tear us down. This is why you need KBOO, and this is why you are pulling out your phone right now and you are supporting at $10 a month, 877-500-5266. Do it for democracy, do it for yourself and your friends and family and generations to come. 877-500-KBOO.
Okay, and the great Edwin Starr, the song is War. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. If you're just joining us for our weekly roundtable from 10 this morning for 90 days after that, just go to kpfk.org, scroll down to archives, click on Sojourner Truth. You'll be able to hear the show in its entirety. And you could check us out on our website at www.sotrueradio.org, where all of our shows are archived there, and there's a description for each show. And we're also on SoundCloud. Just look for Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. And today we would like to welcome our SoundCloud listeners on the Korean Peninsula. It is our weekly roundtable, and our panelists are Bill Gallegos, Jackie Goldberg, Dr. Gerald Horn. Now, the Hurricane Irma, first Hurricane Harvey, but then Hurricane Irma, the Mexico earthquake. I mean, it's just incredible what has been going on in the environment over the last few weeks, really. And they really have revealed a double standard in the value of human life, of who deserves relief, who can wait or fend for themselves. And also with, you know, Trump just yesterday was again questioning whether climate change is real. And says, well, we've had really bad hurricanes before. And meanwhile, in terms of greenhouse gases, the Trump EPA has rolled back water pollution limits for coal plants. You know, look, need I say more? We're going to go right to you, Bill Gallegos, because it was interesting that Trump said, well, it was cell phone, you know, a cell phone issue that meant that that Trump waited a week or close to a week to even call the president of Mexico after that devastating earthquake. But Bill Gallegos, your comments on this kind of double standard revealed in these natural catastrophes.
Yes. You know, well, Margaret, there's consistently been a problem that the populations that contribute the least to global warming suffer the most. And that's true in the global south. And that's also true in areas impacted by Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, where the global south in the global north, the populations of African Americans and Latinos in particular, have the lightest carbon footprint of all populations. In fact, all communities of color have the lightest carbon footprint of all of our populations, but also always suffer the most. They always live in the areas that are most impacted, most vulnerable to climate change and climatic impacts. And that's what's happened in Texas, and that's what's happened in Florida. And I think what's very important now is what's going to happen with the rebuilding, because we have a very illustrative negative example with what happened in New Orleans, where that city was rebuilt after Hurricane Katrina in a way that displaced the historically majority black population, destroyed public education, turned all of New Orleans schools into private charter schools, and really illustrated in a horrible sense what Naomi Klein has called disaster capitalism, taking advantage of a disaster to exacerbate all of the inequalities and all of the horrible aspects of capitalism. So I think that's what's at stake now in Texas and in Florida. And I think it's very, very important for all of us to support the organizations on the ground, the grassroots organizations in Florida. And there's a new coalition that includes the New Florida Majority, SEIU, Miami Worker Center, and others that are saying we are positioned to fight for an equitable and sustainable rebuilding of our state. But that's, you know, there's very powerful class forces that are going to be involved in that arena. And the Trump administration and the federal government, of course, is likely to come down on the side of the corporations, the fossil fuel industries, and those that will want to take advantage of this catastrophe to further gentrify and exacerbate inequality in those areas. So I think that's what's at stake here. And of course, the media and the government continue to deny that climate change was any part of these catastrophes, one after the other, wildfires, droughts, floods, hurricanes, at record levels every year, every season. And there continues to be a denial. And I think it's on the progressive sector and led by the environmental and climate justice community to make certain that this is front and center in any discussion of what are the causes and what are the solutions to the these problems going forward.
Right. And Bill, also very briefly, as we're getting close to the top of the hour, your response to what's going on now with DACA and Trump now negotiating and allegedly having made a deal with Democrats in relation to DACA, but also what some people are worried about with DACA being used as a bargaining chip and this whole division of the good immigrant, bad immigrant, and, you know, who deserves help, et cetera. Comment from you, Bill.
Well, I, you know, obviously, you know, we should all be supportive of efforts to preserve preserve the DACA program as established under the Obama administration.
Yeah.
It's in the early discussions that are going on about this deal that Trump has cut. It doesn't look like that's exactly what's going on, and we don't know all of the details. But what does concern me is the idea that the trade-off here is not the border wall, but the beefing up of spending and programs along the further militarization of the border.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know now that the Border Patrol and the Immigration and Control Force in our site is not the largest federal police force in the country. It's an $18 billion at least annual budget. And when they say they're protecting the border, they're setting up checkpoints 50 and 60 miles from the border. So this has turned into an occupation army, primarily in Latino communities, all along the border and farther from the border. So it really concerns me that they are going to play the good immigrants, bad immigrants here. We will let the DACA recipients be protected, but we're going to set up a system that further represses the millions of other undocumented immigrants here. And just, we should also note, Margaret, that the House just passed what they call the Criminal Alien Gang Members Removal Act that's supposedly aimed at Salva Maratrucha and other immigrant gangs, but it looks like a measure that will really codify racial profiling.
Yeah.
And further restrict immigration, particularly from Central America. So there's a very dangerous set of discussions going on, and I think our demand has to be unconditional protection for the DACistas, and there should not be any kind of negative trade-off. And I know that's going to be a very difficult situation because it's the Democratic Party leadership that is involved in these negotiations.
Yeah.
And, you know, they haven't exactly earned our trust. So I think there has to be what's going on right now, mass actions, legal actions, everything we can to preserve the DACA program, but without a negative trade-off.
On this thing with the Democrats and Trump right now, I mean, for Chuck Schumer to be going on about, oh, I think he likes us, I think he likes me, you know, you know, a lot of people get really turned off by that kind of thing and wonder what that says about the Democratic leadership.
Well, I think that we are in a transition in the Democratic Party. Nothing happens quickly, but we are in a transition. The leadership, there are struggles in small towns, in cities, in national and state elections all over, where a younger and more vibrant Democratic Party could emerge, and that it's being pushed back on by the elites and the what I call the political hacks of the Democratic Party. And there's a real struggle going on. I think how Schumer and Pelosi handle the DACA situation and handle a relationship with Trump will have a tremendous impact on how quickly or how slowly the transition of leadership occurs.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Horn, you know, just yesterday, Trump was again reiterating his comments about both sides being violent in terms of Charlottesville on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, making some comments that he wants to strike some kind of deal in relation to DACA, but also just the exposure of the relationship of these colonial powers, former colonial and former colonial powers in relation to the Caribbean region. Dr. Horn, just some quick final thoughts from you.
Well, it's not just the Caribbean region. In Houston, you are seeing neoliberalism run amok. You see landlords evicting tenants on flimsy grounds because they feel they can now rent the apartments that are pretty penny to the newly homeless. You see thousands upon thousands of cars flooded and rotting out from the inside, now being repainted. They're going to be sold all over the country and all over the world.
Oh, my God.
The crisis, of course, has its beginnings, in a sense, in terms of the dearth of zoning regulations, building willy-nilly all over the place on wetlands, on floodplains, on prairies. And with regard to the Mexico crisis, I would hope that Washington is paying very close and careful attention. The New York Times reports this morning that 65% of people in Mexico have a negative opinion of the United States. A high-level Mexican delegation was at the BRICS meeting in China just a few days ago, and I don't think that Mexico will be happy about this latest report from the Phoenix New Times that suggests that Motel 6 and perhaps other hotel chains or turning over the registration of those with Spanish surnames to ICE, the immigration authorities, and then the immigration authorities come to arrest people in their hotel rooms. I would hope that the hotel workers in the United States of America, which has a strong presence in Southern California in particular, would pay very close and careful attention to that particular issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Horn and Bill Gallegos, Jackie Goldberg, thank all of you for yet another fascinating roundtable. Thank you so much. We're out of time. So I'd like to thank all of today's guests. By the way, I'd like to thank Benoit Martin of Payday, they're part of the network of organizations of the Global Women's Strike, keeping a very close eye on what's going on in France, and was able to facilitate getting a high-profile guest from the labor movement in France. And I'd like to thank the entire Sojourner Truth team, our intern Sherelle Withers, assistant producer Stephanie Case, our engineer Mr. T. Teddy Robinson, if you'd like a copy of today's show.
And you are listening to Sojourner Truth Radio here in the wonderful, wonderful auspices of KBOO Community Radio. This is your community radio station. This is our fall membership drive. I'm Ani. I'm here with Jenka this morning. And we are asking you right now to just take a moment, consider what you've heard, and join KBOO. Support this information flowing to you by calling 877-500-5266. Everyone that calls today will be entered to win a prize in our daily drawing. Today's drawing is for creative body art. You'll win a $200 gift certificate from Skeleton Key Tattoo in Portland, and we're offering a new prize every day of the drive. You can call 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. You can go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions, and hey, while you're at kboo.fm, check out the donate button and become a member of KBOO right now. This is the time to support conversations that provide so much depth and value into the current issues that we're talking about. You know, the issues that are affecting us around DACA, around immigrants' rights, around climate change, around labor movements, around all of these issues that are really impacting our lives. And it's important to be, informed beyond the headlines. Don't you think, Jenkins?
Honey,
that's what we do here at KBOO.
You know, let's be real. There is a reign of terror against immigrants in the U.S. right now. KBOO is a part of the resistance against this. KBOO is an example of media bringing people together with discourse and being a part of an understanding rather than the media of fear that you get from other stations. Let me just be honest with you. We've got a minute left this hour, and we need three of you at $10 a month, or we need one of you to call in with a $25 a month contribution, get the KBOO hoodie, and we will reach our goal. But we need to reach our goal every single show in order for us to reach the overall goal of $105,000. So if you've been holding out, you've been hearing us appeal to your best character and best qualities, now is your time to step up and make it happen. Please help us reach the goal for this show. Transform your money into free training for volunteers, rich discussions of current issues, solid fact-based analysis of the situation that we find ourselves in as a nation right now, and a framework and a model of the world that we want to live in. That's what KBOO represents. Support